Well, we're going to talk about issues. How many of you have issues and you know it? I see a few hands. If you didn't already know, I'm going to tell you that you have issues. And if that rubs you the wrong way for me to tell you that, well, you have issues. So if you get bent out of shape because somebody cut you off on the highway, or somebody didn't reply to your text, or somebody didn't notice how great you look today, you have issues. By the way, you look great today. I just wanted to, If it bothers you that somebody has more than you do, you have issues. You get upset all the time about all kinds of things, you got issues. If you have buttons that when pushed make you go off, you have issues. This is way too early to get quiet. I'm just letting you know. If it bothers you when the church gives people the opportunity to give, you got some issues. If you think that you're never going to win in life, you got issues. If you think everybody's against you, you got issues. And if you think God is against you, you really have issues. If your past dictates your future, you got issues. If there's things that control you besides Jesus, you got issues. If you get too much pleasure out of somebody else getting what they deserve, you got issues. By the way, what's too much pleasure? I don't really know what that means. Anyway, if you're never satisfied with how much you have, you got issues. If you think that it really is all about you, you got issues. And if the word I, me, or mine comes up in almost every sentence that you say, you have issues. If you think the pastor put something in this message because of you, you have issues. If you think something bad is always just about to happen, if you think your gift is to tell everybody else what's wrong with them or tell them what their issues are, you have issues. If you think you can never be normal because of things that have happened to you, you got issues. If somebody asks you how you're doing and 5 minutes later you're still answering that question, you have issues. If you have a tendency to keep making the same point over and over and over, like I'm doing, you have issues. The pastor has issues. Yeah, all of us have issues. None of us has it all together, and most of us are smart enough to know that, but what we're really going to be talking about tonight is issues of the heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." The issues of life flow out of your heart. The life that you live, the decisions that you make, the things that you say, the things you do, all of your life, the issues of life, it flows out of your heart. In the NIV, it says it this way: above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Now, you know what? There's certainly things that happen to all of us that are beyond our control, but the outflow, listen, the fruit, you know, we talked about fruit last Wednesday night, the fruit of our lives, what our lives produce, I'm telling you, it all is coming out of our heart. It is the wellspring of life. And I want to remind you how important your heart is to the Lord. See, the Word of God says we're to love Him with all our heart, that we're to serve Him with all our heart, we're to seek Him with all our heart. We believe in our heart. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We're supposed to have a singleness of heart. We obey Him with all our heart. I'm telling you, the Bible has so much to say about our heart because our hearts are so important. You know, there's a lot of talk today about keeping your physical heart healthy. You got to eat right. You got to exercise. You need to keep your stress down and all that kind of stuff. Because if your heart goes bad physically, you're in trouble. But you know, spiritually, when our heart goes bad, we're talking about the figurative heart now, we're in trouble. Because it impacts, it can affect and infect every area of your life. It determines the outflow of your life. Matthew 12, 33 through 35, Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. See, the fruit of your life is determined by the condition of your heart, by what's in your heart. You make the heart good, and the fruit's going to be good. It's out of the overflow of the heart, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, that the mouth speaks. You see, your mouth will tell on you. It'll tell what's in your heart in abundance. Sooner or later, see, when you got something in your heart in abundance, well, sooner or later it's going to be coming out of your mouth. The Greek word for heart is cardia. It's where we get our word cardiac. Now, it literally means the physical heart, but figuratively, it refers to our thought life, our feelings, emotions, and our decisions. It is the seat of the will. It's where we make our choices. We talk about man being spirit, soul, and body. And the scripture sometimes refers to the heart as the inner man. And so sometimes we get the idea that our heart is the same thing as our spirit. It absolutely is not. And you need to know this. You need to understand this when you're reading the Bible. I know, you know, we talk about the soul and you talk about the heart and you talk about the spirit, and I realize that some of this stuff gets confusing sometimes, and I don't have time to get into all of it tonight, but we're going to talk about the heart because you need to understand what your heart is, and it is not the same as your spirit man. Your spirit is born of God. When you are born again, the Bible says you are born of Him and His seed is in you. You're literally born of God. And out of that born again spirit, there's no evil things coming out of your spirit. There's no evil thoughts. There's no adultery. None of that comes out of your spirit. No, those things come out of the heart. Matthew 15, 19, Jesus says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Where does it come from? It comes from the heart. It certainly doesn't come from your spirit. Your spirit's born of God. It comes from those things that have been stored up in your heart. Matthew 9, 4 and 5 in the NIV says it this way. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Now think about this. You see, we always think, oh, the thoughts are in my head. Well, yeah, I understand that. Your brain is thinking the thoughts, but you need to understand that when we're talking about the inner man, we're talking about your heart, your thoughts are a part of that. And so Jesus says, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk. Those religious people were entertaining evil thoughts, and where they were entertaining them in their heart. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, So is he. I want you to understand that your thoughts and what you think are part of your heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I think in my head, not my heart. But your thoughts are part of the inner man of the heart. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is... Oh, by the way, I meant to tell you, I'm going to give you a lot of verses tonight, a lot of verse references, and I just encourage you to jot them down because we need to get this down inside us where we really understand how our heart works and how God works in our heart so that we can get real victory in our life. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God judges the thoughts, everybody hear me? The thoughts and the intents, the motives and the attitudes of the heart. The word of God judges that. The heart is also where our feelings are. Romans 9:2, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. Got sorrow, got grief, where is it? It's in my heart. Our attitudes, intents, our desires, they all come from the heart. Matthew 5:28, Jesus says, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It's in the heart that we make decisions and we decide to do things. We decide to turn that doorknob, right? Now, I want you to understand our decisions are influenced by our thoughts and our feelings and our spirit. But that choice is made in the heart. 2 Corinthians 9:7, so let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart. That's where you decide. That's where you make that choice. You give as you decided in your heart. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's from the heart that we choose to obey or to disobey. Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that though you were the slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You see, you decide in your heart whether or not you're going to obey. You see, that's why out of your heart flow all the issues of life. Yes, there are things in life that you have no control over that happen to you. But what comes out of your life, it all flows out of your heart. And the reason Jesus deals with these heart issues is because that's where the real heart, the heart of the issue is. Listen, Jesus, over and over in his teachings, he always dealt with the heart issue. It was never just about outward actions. Because when you fix the heart, then the behavior on the outside changes. But when you just try to change the behavior on the outside, nothing is really changed. And so much of the time, that's where we miss it. That's where the world misses it, just trying to change the outside. But so much of religion, and even in Christianity, we focus on the outside and we want to just change the outside. Listen, here's how you make a lasting change on the outside. You change the inside. Jesus said, an evil man is still going to bring forth evil. And you know, the ones that he was talking to were very religious people. And on the outside, they looked really good. But he said, on the inside, they were full of dead men's bones. You got to change the inside. You got to change the heart. You know, it's with the heart that we choose to believe. Here's a big deception in the body of Christ today. That faith is just some kind of a feeling, this weird mystical thing that just comes on you. That is pure baloney. God doesn't tell you to do something that you have no control over. And he tells us over and over to believe. Jesus says, have faith in God, Mark 11:22. You got to believe. How does that happen? Romans 10 and 10 says it's with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, even the decision to put Jesus as your Lord and Savior comes from the heart. You believe it in your heart, that's the key to seeing miracles in your life, to having answered prayer. Mark 11, 23, Jesus says, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. See, the heart is where fears and doubts come from. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus doesn't tell you to do things or not to do things that you have no control over. We got to deal with this issue of the heart. All of the activities of our life flow out of our heart, whether good or bad. So back to Proverbs 4:23. In the NIV, it's above all else. So you know what that means? This is really, really important. Above all else. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. We're real big about protecting our home. We ought to be even bigger about guarding our heart. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Another translation says, keep it with all diligence. All diligence. You know what diligence is? I mean, that's where you really work at something, where you're, you know, there's some determination. We need to have that about guarding our heart, that we're diligent about it. We're not slack about it. We're not lazy about it. There's a whole lot of laziness in the body of Christ today. It's all the rage. But there's some things that we are supposed to be diligent about. This is one of them. Jesus cares so much about our hearts. We need to be diligent that we guard our hearts. So, how do you do that? Well, we'll talk about some real simple things. One of the ways we can do that is by being wise, being careful about what we put before our eyes. Psalms 101, verse 2 and 3 says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Wow. Well, that doesn't mean perfect as in flawless. It means mature, complete. I'm going to walk in my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Now, the philosophy of the world, and a whole lot of people buy into this, is that it doesn't really matter what I see, what I look at. Does it really affect me? What a lie. I mean, even psychologists will tell you that one of the ways you mess a kid up is by letting them see things that a child shouldn't see. But somehow or another, you know, we have these rules that's socially acceptable in society that it's okay for adults to see all kinds of ungodly, impure things. And so I just want to say to you, you know, yes, as you go about your day, sometimes there's going to be, you're going to have the opportunity to see things you got to turn away from. But especially what we have with modern media through your TV set and the internet. In a moment, in a click, you can see all kinds of things that your heart doesn't need to have in it. And we can say, oh, well, I'm an adult and I can handle it. It's all a lie and a deception. You have deceived yourself. You've got to guard your heart. You've got to be careful about what you allow in your heart. And one of the ways that things get in your heart is through the eye gate. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. You get all kinds of negative thoughts and feelings and words and actions by what you see. I use a nice word. I said negative. Jesus calls those things evil. It's important what you put before your eyes. Sometimes you just need to stay off of Facebook for a while. Because, you know, I'm not just talking about pornography and there's all kinds of garbage you just don't need to see. And sometimes you just need to unfollow some people. You know, I know I'm probably weaker than a lot of people, but I just have to stay off there sometimes and just have to unfollow certain people because every time I see their garbage, it just brings me down. That or makes me anxious or makes me angry. It makes me judgmental because I say stupid and things like, you know. Sorry. Moving on. Next, we need to be careful about what we listen to. And the same kinds of deceptions come into place where we think, oh, it's no big deal, doesn't really matter. Listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Don't tell me it doesn't matter the things that you listen to. And in the same way, fear comes that way a lot of the time. We hear things, and all kinds of negative emotions and thoughts, ideas and attitudes get into our heart through the ear gate by what we hear. You know, you hear a bad report enough times and it gets down in your heart and then it undermines your faith. Why did the children of Israel stay in the wilderness for 40 years until they all died except for Joshua and Caleb? Because they listened to the bad report. So don't tell me it doesn't matter. Yes, it's huge. If you want to live for God and see God move and work in your life, you got to watch what you listen to and guard your heart. Here's one, Proverbs 26:22. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles that go down into the inmost body. They get down inside of you. Oh man, did you hear? Did you know? And when you listen to a gossip, junk gets down inside of you. And it's going to infect your heart. You get enough of it, or sooner or later, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You become a gossip yourself. You got to go tell it to somebody else. One of the most powerful things, most powerful way that things get into our heart is something we hear, but in particular, it's music. Music is such a powerful medium. You know, it stirs emotion and it interjects thoughts all at the same time. And it's so powerful for good or for bad, but you need to be wise about that. It's amazing how those things can get down in your heart and people develop attitudes and it starts affecting their life. It affects their marriage and their relationships. They heard it in a song and, you know, it just kind of becomes part of them, part of their heart and out of the issues of the heart. I got friends in low places. Where did that come from? 35 years ago. I never owned the album. I never intentionally listened to that song one time in my life. But it was so popular, it was everywhere, and a lot of you recognized it immediately. I don't have friends in low places. Something about whiskey and all that garbage. But you see how it can stick with you and how it just gets down in. You need to be careful about the music that you listen to. It gets in your heart. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in some good old country. No, that's not what it says. It says, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, where? In your heart. Hallelujah. To the Lord. This is how you keep your heart. This is how you stay full of the Spirit too, by the way. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. It'll change you. It'll change your heart. And things will start happening differently in your life. So use your ears and your eyes to put the right stuff down in your heart. Psalm 119, verse 11, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, you get it down in your heart. You get the word down in your heart. Tired of this lazy Christianity. People need to get the word down in their heart, need to be students of the word, disciples of Jesus. Get the word down in your heart. so you do right, so you do what God wants you to do, so you really serve God. You get it down in your heart, because out of the heart, Jesus was tempted. He was tempted by Satan. Tempted at all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted. You know what he did? He spoke the word. Every time he was tempted, he spoke the word. I mean, he had it right there. As soon as he was tempted, he spoke the word. What do we do when we get tempted? You see, we ought to have the word hidden down in our heart so it's ready. And when temptation comes, we automatically think of that scripture and we speak it out of our mouth. It's how powerful that is. Why can't we do that? We can do that. We're supposed to do that. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your heart is so vital to your spiritual life, but you got to protect it. One of the ways you protect your heart is you take control of your thought life. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments." See, that has to do with thoughts. "Arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." You got to take every thought into captivity. You don't just let your mind go where it wants to go. You take control of your thought life, because remember, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, some of us would joke about it at the beginning, but some of us, most of us, in some way, we really do have issues. And some of them are big. And it's a stronghold in our life. How are you going to tear down that stronghold? You use the word of God to renew your mind. You're going to start taking every thought captive. You're not going to allow those things to rule over you anymore, because you're going to take those thoughts captive and you're going to change the way you think. Don't be like the world anymore. It's Romans 12:2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So use the word of God to take control of your thought life. Your thoughts don't line up with the word of God, then kick them out. You say, "Well, I don't even know what that is." That's why we need to be digging into the word of God every day. Back to Luke 6:45 in the NIV, it says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." What are you storing up in your heart? Good, bad, or a combination? And so is the outflow of our life. Good, bad, or a combination. You store up what you continually choose to listen to look at, to think about. So you decide what you're going to keep, what you're going to store, and what you're going to let go of. And it'll change the fruit of your life. That same passage in the New King James says this: "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil." And the reason I wanted you to hear that from the New King James is because I want you to think about this. Good treasure, he said, and evil treasure. There's both kinds. There's good treasure and there's evil treasure. But what is treasure? Treasure is something that's important to you. Treasure is something that is valuable or that you hang on to. What are you going to hang on to? See, we all have all kinds of thoughts pop in our head, and sometimes we can't help what we hear or what we see, but you got to decide what you're going to hang on to, and you got to guard your heart and say, "You know what, I'm not allowing that in my life. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to let that take hold in my heart." What do you treasure? What are you hanging on to? A lot of people hang on to wrongs and hurts done to them. I'm not belittling that, minimizing somebody's hurt. I'm just saying, if you hang on to it, it's always going to impact you. A lot of people hang on to their past disappointments. A lot of people hang on to covetousness. There's something that they want, and they just won't let that go. The Bible says that covetousness is idolatry. But they're hanging on to it. You can't serve two masters. Now I want to clarify one more time. You certainly can't choose everything that happens to you in life. But we can decide how we're going to deal with it. And we need the Word of God to show us how to deal with it. Bad things happen. So when you're wronged, what are you going to do? Well, Mark 11, 25 says, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. You see, the Bible tells us what to do even when bad things happen. I'm telling you, there's an answer in the Word of God to show you how to navigate through life in victory. What do you do when you're persecuted? Well, Jesus says in Matthew 5, 11, that you should rejoice and be glad. And there's a hard one, huh? I didn't say it was easy. What do you do when you're in trouble? Well, James 5:13 says, is any of you in trouble? He should pray. But whatever happens, I'm just telling you, there's an answer in the Scripture. It'll tell you how to deal with life. And so you guard your heart, and you keep that junk from getting in your heart. And you may hear some bad news, a bad report, but don't accept garbage in your heart. You may have some thoughts of doubt, envy, lust, anger, but you don't have to dwell on that. Take those thoughts captive and renew your mind with the Word of God. Keep it with all diligence. Protect your heart. Bitterness is a result of an unguarded heart. Adultery is the result of an unguarded heart. Gossip is the result of an unguarded heart. Judgment is a result of an unguarded heart. Pride, we're talking about pride on Sundays, it's a result of an unguarded heart. So don't let anything negative, impure get into your heart. When the devil comes knocking on your door, you don't leave the door ajar. Because the next thing you know, he's back in a garbage truck up to your door. Hide the Word of God in your heart. Let the Word of God judge what's in your heart. Hebrews 4:12, it judges the thoughts, the attitudes of the heart. It's the Word of God that will fix the issues of your heart. Proverbs 4:20-23. We're going to go back there, and we'll end up on verse 23 where we started, but I want to read from beginning from verse 20. Now, these are the words of Solomon to his son, but I want to tell you they're the words of God to us. My son, give attention to my word. We need to pay attention to the Word of God. Give it our full attention. So many people with messed up lives, and listen to me, a lot of them know it. They know their life is a mess, and they won't help. They want help, but they won't listen to the Word of God. And I'm talking about even believers. You can tell them what the Bible says. The pastor can preach it on Sunday. But they won't listen to the Word of God. I'm telling you, the Word of God can fix your heart. It has power in it. They want something easy. He says, incline your ear to my saying. See, whenever we have an issue, we need to look to God's Word for answer. Turn our ear to His Word and not to the wisdom of the world. Verse 21, do not let them depart from your eyes. See, we're supposed to keep His Word before us all the time. God told the Israelites to put it on their doorposts and on their house, put it where they could see it all the time. Now, here's the important part for us, though. He says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep it in the midst of your heart. You got to get it down in your heart and keep it there. Treasure the Word of God. Don't forget what it says, but meditate on it. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Word of God. I'm telling you, it has life in it. Healing, wholeness, freedom, deliverance, blessing in every area of our life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So, we live in a world where there is garbage all around us. How can we live a life that is holy, not like the world? How can we do that? We got to guard our hearts. How would you like to eat out of a refrigerator that has garbage in it? I'm not talking about you left those leftovers in there too long. I'm talking about it actually has garbage in it. Like somebody didn't use the trash can, they just put garbage in it. You wouldn't want to eat out of that refrigerator. Why do we want to live a life with a heart with garbage in it? Out of your heart flow the issues of life. Jesus said, it's not what's on the outside that defiles a man. It's what comes out of the heart. See, we're more concerned about the things on the outside. We need to be more concerned about what we're allowing in our heart. So, you decide what you treasure in your heart. You guard your heart as a daily necessity. But sometimes we need to deal with some issues of the heart. And so I want you to stand with me as we pray tonight.